Let's drink up.
Might be a little much.
You better not put that on the outtakes, because remember, you got to think of it, the kids would listen to this. So.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That face just now. Hello there, and welcome to Pink Milk, your Star Wars podcast. For us, super fans.
And those of us who are forced to listen to them.
Today is someday, and someday I'm sending Hera back to the makeup chair.
Must be the lips.
Must be. No Taylor Swift lips on this Star Wars podcast. Are you ready, Thomas?
I'm ready.
Let's drink up.
Drink up.
I love you.
I love you. Can I buy you a drink?
Hello there. Pop, pop.
Hello there.
How are you?
I am well. How are you doing?
You know what? I'm doing super duper.
Well, that's fantastic. You must be driving that Mini Cooper.
You know, I'm feeling satisfied.
Well, that's all that matters.
Hello there, everyone, and thank you for listening to Pink Milk, where we talk Star Wars queerly. I'm your host, Brian. With me, as always, is my better half and your better host, Thomas.
Hello, hello, hello.
How has your week been, my friend, my husband,
week,
my lover,
week.
My boyfriend, my person, my daddy, my patty, my pookanoo?
Keep going.
My stud horse.
Okay, here we go. It was good. It was really good. As you know, I was out of town. I was down south, but a little cold down there. I had to wear a coat. Not a fan of that. However, I am back now, and it is 80 mm-hmm. degrees, and I'm loving life.
You know what, everyone? I know if you're a longtime listener, you know that Thomas is pretty fantastic. You also know he'll tell you himself how fantastic he is.
I will.
I would like all of you to know and realize that my husband, who usually treats me incredibly well, was downright cruel to me while he was on the East Coast in South Carolina. He took me on a FaceTime call to watch me, or to have me watch him dip his toes in the water as he took a beautiful stroll down an empty beach in January.
Yes. Well, I gave you the choice. You said you wanted to stay on the phone. I was taking the walk up and down the beach. It was Folly Beach in Charleston anyway, so I gave you the option.
And
my
I was
sister, though, who's in New Jersey, didn't particularly care for it either when I spoke with her.
Well, Suzanne and I are the same person.
I don't like you. I don't think I've ever been to a beach in January. It was nice.
Oh my God,
nice.
I love
a
beach
had a
in
lot
January.
Of, wet weather down there, but it was the sun peaked out for that particular time of the day, and it was real nice.
Oh my God. Speaking of wet weather,
mm-hmm.
here on the West Coast in this desert that some might call Tatooine, I grew up here for the most part. I've lived in some other places, I guess, but this is where I grew up. This is what I know. And yes, I'm in my mid-40s.
You are?
I still don't know certain things. And the entire week you're gone for 3 days. Let's start with Saturday morning, the day you left. I woke up at about, 5:30 and sat downstairs on the couch, had myself a nice cup of coffee looking out over my backyard. And this stuff started falling from the sky. And I went outside and it was wet. And I had to Google it because I've never seen wetness falling from the sky here on Tatooine. It was called rain. And it rained for 3 days, nonstop drizzle. And in Arizona, when it does rain, which again, I forget what it is half the time because it doesn't happen very often, it comes down hard and then it's gone. But it's like maybe 10 minutes. Maybe 10 minutes. Nope. I think it was raining for 36 hours. It was very weird.
And then I arrived back and the sun shined again.
It's like the great state of Arizona was missing its daddy pookanoo.
I do have some bad news for you, though.
What?
I believe it's supposed to rain this weekend.
Oh, that's fine. That's fine. You know what?
For the bushes we just planted.
Yes. And as my son would tell you, I'm going to be excited because it means I don't have to water and I'm cheap. And Michael would say, is it expensive? And I might say something like $4. And Michael would go, what? $4 is expensive? But we're rich. $4 isn't expensive? I'm like, well, one, I guess we could be rich depending on certain points of view. I would not say we're rich. And I still think $4 is a lot of money. And as I always tell him, well, one day when you start working for $4, you'll realize that it takes work to make $4. And therefore, it's a lot of money.
And considering on average, the water bill is $116 a month. So I don't know how they can literally get it consistently the same dollar amount every month. I don't understand that. So.
Well, you know why?
Water is expensive in the desert, people.
It is. It is. I mean, we're like moisture farmers over here. No, it's because I sometimes think that our government is as dumb, spoiled, and entitled as that of the New Republic that we meet here in this here Ahsoka show that we're about to get into.
Ah, tell me more.
Tell me more. You know, the New Republic, bunch of idiots. You literally fought a war against an empire because you understood oppression and all of that. And now you're arrogant again. Like, you fought for a new government and now you're there. And fast forward 5 years later, you feel entitled that you should just sit there. They're so dumb. This New Republic also begins to fail. Maybe I'm slowly becoming an anarchist in our 7 month absence of podcasting.
It was a sabbatical.
Well, you know, I guess on that sabbatical, I did learn a lot, Thomas.
Tell me more.
I lived, I laughed, I loved. I broke nails out in the wilderness. And one of the things that I really...
You sound like Reese Witherspoon.
Yeah. And you know, what she did in some of those movies and the other one, Pretty Woman, what's her name again? Mystic Pizza?
Julia Roberts.
She was in Live, Laugh, Love, Pray, Eat More, whatever those things are called.
Never saw it.
I don't know. But what those two actors did that I've really appreciated over this last few months, Thomas.
Mm-hmm.
I understood that there is no greater struggle in this world than that of a 40-something-year-old white woman.
So are you saying you're a 40-something-year-old white woman?
I think I might be. You know, I don't like Taylor Swift because Taylor Swift also brings something incredibly important to the conversation of the tapestry of America.
Okay.
Late 20-something white women about to turn 30 also have struggle like no one else can ever possibly understand. They speak for all. And I've now really understood this. Now that I've had my time away from social media to tell me that isn't correct, I really now understand that late 20s, mid 40-year-old white women, they really should just rule the world. I think Taylor Swift needs to cover Who Runs the World Girls because Beyonce, clearly, she doesn't understand.
You know, I do have a confession to make. I can't believe the last couple of years... I found myself enjoying one or two, three Taylor Swift songs thinking, oh my gosh, it's in my head. And this Karma song is pretty darn good. Wow. Oh.
Listeners, if Tom and I
never used to like her, but she's grown on me.
If Tom and I ever split up and this podcast takes more than a sabbatical, it's because my husband has turned into a Swiftie and I'm probably going to lose like a lot of listeners in this, but I already had one anti-Taylor Swift thing at the top. So I cannot stand Taylor Swift. I don't like her. I think
what has she ever done to you?
She makes everything about herself. She centers herself in every single conversation.
Does she do that or do the people around her?
The entire Super Bowl is about her going to see her boyfriend. She released some concert movie that everyone already, it was like the greatest grossing concert series ever. Then she makes a movie. Then Beyonce comes out with a movie that all anyone does is talks about how it didn't live up to the Taylor Swift thing. So then Taylor Swift went to the Beyonce red carpet and took a picture of, see, look, I'm even going to invade Beyonce's movie and I'm going to take Beyonce's red carpet moment from her in London and I'm going to make center myself in it.
Number one, I didn't even know Taylor Swift had a movie. Number two, I didn't know Beyonce had a movie. I knew she had a new album. Number three, all Taylor Swift, and I can't believe I'm defending the girl. However, she hasn't made it about herself. She happens to be dating a football player and wanted to support him. And it's the rest
but you know what
of
would
whatever
be,
it is, whatever their Swifties or the football world or the media, who cares? But I kind of feel like she isn't really in this particular case doing it about.
Okay. Well, you know what she could
However,
do?
I do want you to know, I never gave it a thought until I heard it come out of your mouth because I don't really
care.
But
you know what
really.
She could do?
Good for her, though. I'm happy when people are happy in a relationship.
I'm glad artists can succeed. She could not go to the game. She could not get in front of the camera. She could wear a wig and maybe a mask. It is still like COVID time. She could get away with no one knowing when she was there.
Maybe
it is possible.
She has been doing that for a very long time. And then she got caught and now she's free.
Nope. Nope. She centers herself in everything. I mean, maybe good for her. She's a smart businesswoman. She knows it's not going to last forever. So she's going to make all the money she can while she's here. I don't know.
You know what? She probably should do that because look at all the stars or the singers, the artists, whatever we're calling them now, that have gone away for a long time and now they're coming back and it's like, I think you just made a comment about one recently.
Okay, I was just.
I don't know that I want to say that person's name outside or out loud in fairness because this person
listeners.
Is extremely talented.
Yeah, listeners, but I have a question for you and I need you to be incredibly honest with me because again, in my sabbatical, what I've learned from my middle-aged white women is that I need to be truly authentic. I need to.
I hope you're not insulting middle-aged white women, by the way. I hope it's not being perceived like that.
It's not. Of course, I couldn't. They understand.
You,
oppression
in particular.
And struggle more than anyone else in this entire country.
Okay.
In the entire world, probably.
Okay.
I mean, not, you don't understand how hard it is to have the privilege to just take a week-long trip through the wilderness.
And this is the Reese with.
I don't know where. I don't know where this came from, but Ahsoka brought this out in me. I don't know what it was.
Okay.
Anyhow, listeners, I need you.
Are you going to wrap up the Taylor Swift thing?
Yeah. Okay. No, I'm moving on to Meow Mix. Steam Queens, listeners, I need you to be brutally honest with me. Am I a bad person for watching a Meow Mix commercial with a certain singer of a certain boy band related to the boy band member who's, oh my God, also understood the struggle, what it must have been like to ruin a Super Bowl performance where they took someone else's Super Bowl performance and made it all about themselves, centered themselves in the thing, exposed someone, and then they were the ones who were really impacted by that. Wow. Okay.
Is well, the hint there?
I think so. Anyways, okay.
Someone?
Yeah. Okay. Anyways, I said last night that it has to be hard, that there has to be some animosity built when you're a part of a boy band who is incredibly successful, obviously. And one of the members is out there still like living their best life as a very important musical artist in pop culture, in the pop stratosphere still, like currently making music so successful, they can like take a decade in between albums and still have these huge, massive successes. Living legend. And now you're singing background to some computer generated
Meow
cats.
Mix commercial.
Like, and you're only brought back to have your band brought back together for a child movie. That said new living legend is the producer of, and you are no longer just the boy band coming back together after 20 years. You're the boy band and said living legend.
So wait, did they do a movie as well?
No, they had a song that came out for this new Trolls movie. But it isn't just boy band.
So you're not going to say who they are.
It's not just boy band. It's boy band with one out of sync. Because they need their own, like, remember, I'm not a part of this band anymore. They're all still together, but I'm off on my own and I'm inviting them into my world. I know at one point in time, I might've been synced up with these people, but I'm no longer synced up with them.
Right.
I'm out of sync.
And I'm married to a movie star.
another movie star who can center themselves into every other role about like maybe people without as much opportunity. Well, I think I can do that. I'm a middle-aged 40-something-year-old white woman. I understand the struggles of trans people. I understand the struggles of being, you know, someone else. You know what, Ahsoka? Thank
wow,
you.
Wow, this
thank
this
you, Ahsoka,
is a lot.
For bringing. Ahsoka's really brought out the SJW warrior in me.
Yeah,
and
wow.
Who better to do it than me, by way of Reese Witherspoon?
My little Reese Witherspoon, who I love, by the way.
I mean,
love my husband.
I love
too.
A girl.
I just didn't realize today he was be playing the part. Of
I
Reese
love
Witherspoon.
I love a girl who can have one too many martinis, get pulled over, and say, "Don't you know who I am?"
You know what? Good for her. Didn't work out great for her, but good for her. Good for her.
Oh, Bradley Jackson. Oh, Bradley.
Another great show on Apple if you haven't watched it.
You know,
The Morning Show.
The Morning Show is great and it's camp.
I love
it's
Jennifer
like it's
Aniston.
Great and it's not great all at the same time, but it's not greatness is kind of what makes it great. I never know if it's a comedy, if it's supposed to be serious, is it not? The first season, you're like, oh, we're going to tackle some real things. And now we're like, you know, brothers are invading capitals and they're part of the riots. Oh my God, someone's secretly a Trump supporter. Mm-hmm. Oh God, I love it. Lesbians can't date a conservative woman because that would be horrible and wrong. And
wow. Sounds like you summed up the show. A couple seasons right there.
Yep. Uh-huh. All right. We're not here to talk about
The Morning Show,
middle-aged white women.
Or
we are here.
Justin Timberlake.
Who?
Or
I was never talking about Justin Timberlake. I don't know what you're talking about.
Taylor Swift.
Oh. Bitch can go down.
We're
no. Okay.
About
okay,
that
Thomas.
About a kid.
Honey.
She's 30, I think, right? At best?
I think she's about to turn 30. That's the
oh
struggle.
My gosh. Sorry, Taylor.
Yeah. Tom, you don't understand how hard it is for
that's
a late 20-something-year-old white
not
woman.
I'm a Swiftie. I'm just a T.
She's experiencing ageism already. You don't understand. There is nothing more damaging to the fiber of morality
well, that's
than
why
a white woman
get
aging
Karma.
Into her 30s.
Brian, you better be
okay,
careful.
Okay, Thomas.
Yes.
Let's remove our conversation from these people. No more middle-aged white woman conversation. We are going to concentrate our attention on a middle-aged orange woman.
Do we get to watch the episode now?
No, a few things before we get into
okay.
the episode.
Alrighty.
Okay. We took a sabbatical, as Tom would say. I would say I went through a lot and needed to just take a hot minute. Glad we're back.
Spend time with his family and his children.
Yep. Honestly, yeah. Anyways, that's a conversation for another day. However, during the height of this was the SAG-AFTRA strikes. And I remember all of that happening and looking at my husband and saying, thank God we don't have that podcast right now. I have a lot of feelings. Look, go get your money, actors and writers. I literally am here for all of that. I support the strikes. I'm glad all of you, like, honestly, couldn't have been easy going without money for that long, but they stood their ground and did what they needed to do. And I'm all about protesting. Please, I'm a Generation X person. We were listening to lots of Robin yesterday. And my favorite thing about Robin, because she is like the queen of all queens, she is goat, she is everything.
She's a goat?
Yeah, the greatest of all time. Yes. Anyways, she can have her middle finger up at everyone around her and still be quirky and silly all at the same time. Mm-hmm. Like she can possess, don't F with me, but also will you F with me?
Mm-hmm.
And I love that energy. I hope I exude that energy.
She
with,
definitely has that energy.
You know, I want that. I just want people to go, you know what? I love Brian. I want to fuck around with Brian, but I'm not going to fuck Brian. Like don't fuck him over because he will screw you back. That's the energy I want. I hope I give it.
Mm-hmm. You do.
So, okay. Anyways, we're watching it. And, you know, this is a topic of a conversation for another day, probably.
Did we watch it yet?
No. And Thomas, when it originally came out in June, all this was going on. Perfect. And I was like, oh my God, are we going to, all of the conversations from my friends my other content creators of like, we can't talk about this. We have to stand in solidarity. It's just some of it to each their own. I love it. I love a lot of the people that did that, but sometimes I felt like it felt very performative. And in my time away from the internet, I learned, and I would like to think I'm a pretty authentic person. Like I'm pretty open and honest and opinionated, and I'm not one to shy away from expressing things, even if it's not the most popular. But it's really hard to not feel like you have to do the right thing because you're going to get dragged. And as someone who is dragged by homophobes, by anti-adoption people, by Star Wars people, by gay Star Wars people who thought that their content creation was more important than mine, and therefore I had no business to speak. All of that stuff that I had to go through that led to a sabbatical. You still fall to the pressure of that because it's not fun, even though I also really think that it's ridiculous to fall to pressure of a bunch of strangers typing words on a screen. So anyways, just very glad it wasn't there. It was a lot to learn and I was able to just enjoy a Star Wars show. However, it brought up all those feelings of why I kind of left the show for a while and I've forgotten everything about the show other than that I liked it.
All I remember watching it. I remember liking it. I remember the nuts and bolts of it probably, but mm-hmm. I am looking forward to doing our rewatch today.
Yeah.
So I can remember about
most of it.
The exact nuances of the
okay,
episode.
I want to ask a few things of you before we go back and watch it, because I do know that it was mostly, again, I wasn't online when the show was out, so I don't mm-hmm. totally know what the online conversations were, but I know what they were leading up to it, and I know the conversations of Ahsoka's appearances in The Mandalorian and the Book of Boba Fett.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of talk that it wasn't their Ahsoka, and she is a very different character, and I think I had a little bit of struggle of like, that's not the Ahsoka I know.
Mm-hmm.
And in time away, I've realized that she's just very different. She's older. She's like a 40-something year old now. When we first met Ahsoka, she was a teenager. Then we met her again in Rebels, and she was like early 30s, and now she's mid-40s. And I would say even from early 30s to now mid-40s, you just become very different. You are still all in there, but I feel like most 40-somethings I know, and myself included, a level of seriousness comes that maybe wasn't there before.
Oh, I 100% agree.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm looking forward to watching that with her character now, because like I know a lot of my friends who love Ahsoka. I mean, gay people love Ahsoka. Like it is what it is. And they were not a fan of this Ahsoka. But I've realized in looking back and thinking about all this before we started recording all these things, most of my friends are younger, in their 20s.
Okay.
So they were like kids and teenagers when Ahsoka was around before. And so maybe they don't have the ability to think what it's going to be like when they're 40 because they haven't reached that yet. And so I think there is a disconnect that maybe I'm looking forward to seeing a connection as someone else who's always kind of appreciated Ahsoka and really identify with Ahsoka. I was always older than her, so it was more like I wish I had that strength when I was her age.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm now her age, so am I going to be able to relate to Ahsoka the same way now that she and I are two middle-aged white women about to struggle through the I'm going through the forests of Northern California. She's about to take a journey to
it's
another
kind of
galaxy.
Funny you're calling Ahsoka middle-aged white woman.
Yeah, that's probably going to get me canceled there. But please just.
Well, welcome to Pink Milk. I think it's time to watch it.
I think it probably is. All right, everyone, let's go watch episode one. Watch it again with us. So hit pause. Go watch Ahsoka. Let's come back. Are you ready, Thomas?
I'm ready.
Let's drink up.
Let's drink up.
And
we're back.
We're back.
Welcome back, Brian.
Welcome back, Thomas.
Yes, sir.
Welcome back. All right. We've done Ahsoka. We watched it longer than I remember. That's great. Question for you, Thomas. Did you like the length? Because you are always complaining that Star Wars Disney Plus shows are too short.
You know what? It was 56 minutes. It felt every bit of 56 minutes. And yes, I am a complete contradiction because you know I don't like the short shows, but maybe there is a happy medium between 17 minutes and 56. I don't know. I'm not a director, obviously. So
a good, clean 45.
Gosh, are they all going to be this way?
I don't remember either.
I was just anticipating. They had me trained. 23 minutes, 17 minutes.
17 minutes might be a bit dramatic.
I don't know why that sticks out in my mind. 17, 23. I have no idea.
Well, Star Wars Visions and Tales of the Jedi, some of them might have been like 17 minutes.
I don't know, Brian.
All right, Thomas. A couple questions before we get into this here episode.
Yes, sir.
We learn with a nice little pseudo solo Star Wars crawl that there's a Grand Admiral, once a Grand Admiral, leading ranking top official of the Empire, once thought dead. Apparently he's somewhere else. We got to find a map because he's back. And if he comes back, we're going to spark another war. Is that enough of a setup for who Thrawn is? Because you don't know who Thrawn is.
Hey, listen, it's a hard answer to provide.
Okay.
If you had asked me that question in the summer when I first watched it, no, it definitely wasn't enough.
Okay.
But I have seen it before, so I did remember who he was. But 100% no, because I had no idea prior who he was.
Okay. Yeah, because this is 2 for 2. Big bad brought back with no real explanation. Palpatine was the first one in The Rise of Skywalker.
Right.
We thought he was dead. All of a sudden, he's back.
Mm-hmm.
Out of nowhere. So, just curious. Curious that Star Wars likes to keep doing this to us. I mean, I'm not one who
It's all the outline, babe. It's the outline.
I think some of today's moviegoers want and require too much, and it makes it boring, and we can get lost in too much exposition and too much explaining of who and what everything is. I do think there is something nice about a story of just kind of going with it. Like, you know, it's more old school fairy tale. Like everyone knows who a princess is or who a prince was or who a good witch was or whatever. We just kind of run with it. They're bad, but maybe a little more, maybe a little more. I want to get into a few things that I loved about this episode before we get into some of what we didn't. Because like, I think we learn a lot about Ahsoka and Sabine's relationship. That really is kind of the crux of the entire series. It really is the heartbeat of the whole show, all 8 episodes. And I think we have a little bit of a differing opinion on that relationship and whether or not we enjoyed it. But before we get into that, I will say that Baylan Skoll and Shin Hati, I think is her name, the bad guys. We are no Jedi. Steal the show. They're really great. Love them. He's like a big, gigantic wolf, and she's like a second wolf. They reminds me of Princess Mononoke with the wolf and her cubs. Here for it. Can't remember if you've ever seen that movie. Everyone should watch it. If you have not, if you love Star Wars, you're going to love Princess Mononoke.
Okay.
It's great. I also love Hu Ying. I love seeing Hu Ying, who is very old school Jedi, very locked into tradition, or as he says, programmed with all of his traditions, paired with a Jedi who a lot of people that are watching the show may not know that she walked away from the Order. So they were doing, you know, they're inserting lines to say kind of who she was and what she was doing. A lot of that stuff's going to come back. I'm here for it. I think their pairing is very good and it's bringing some nice comedy and good setup. What about you? What are some things that you're liking so far?
Well, I have a favorite character, of course, the witch. Can't remember her name, but
Morgan Elsbeth.
I like her. I really like her. I remember when she was in a different show.
Mandalorian. What
was
that?
Mandalorian?
Two.
Okay, yeah. I like her. Yeah, something about her.
She's great. Her hair got grayer.
That's okay. Happens to the best of us.
Yeah. You know, I will say, we'll save that for a later day, actually, because that's going to become more important later. I like her a lot. I like that she refers to her ancestors being the Dathomirian witches, but she's clearly not Dathomirian. So I'm very curious what that was all about.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, but I like her. She's great. She's a great character.
Okay.
She can fight really well too. Later when we see that she can kick some ass.
Mm-hmm.
She can kick ass. I like it. Okay, Thomas. Yeah, that's kind of the gist of the show. We got a map to find. Also, a little The Rise of Skywalker shade. Got to throw it at you. Sorry about it. But this is how you do a Star Wars map. You have like cool, creepy Dathomirian witches. Very Indiana Jones. Like, let's figure out how to open this thing up. Not crawl into some underground tunnel with a snake. Heal it. Then pop up this thing and look at the sword was cut out like the edge of the fallen Death Star was stupid.
Right.
Hated it. Dumb.
Hated it.
Dumb. No technology, no nothing, no magic, no force. We're going to cut it into the shape of this. Dumb.
Okay.
You know what? Also, can I tell you, while I was on my journey through the wilderness of the, I don't really like the sequel trilogy. Love the characters.
Really?
Don't like the sequel trilogy. But I'm really just embracing that I don't like the sequel trilogy. But I am very excited for Rey's movie because I love the characters of the sequel trilogy.
What about this show?
Well, I think the show... Okay. Let's get into some things that I don't love, and then we'll talk about the relationship between Ahsoka and Sabine.
Speaking of things I didn't like...
I really dislike the way the show looks. Too clean.
Really?
For me. Yep.
Huh.
I feel that... the sequel trilogy went through this a little bit. I know that people praise TLJ for its cinematography and all that. And I will say TLJ is the Last Jedi, Thomas.
Okay.
Is the best of the sequel trilogy. It does look beautiful, but it does not look like Star Wars to me. It's too plain Jane. I think everyone in Star Wars should go to look at Andor and Rogue One to see what a Star Wars movie looks like. And Solo. Solo also looks very much like a Star Wars movie. Some of the costuming choices in Solo... questionable, but the look of Solo, great. Yeah, so I gotta be honest, the look, not my favorite. It's a little clean.
I have to be honest. Okay. I actually think it's very beautiful.
Love it. Great. Perfect.
Yeah,
perfect.
I think they've done a great job. I like it a lot. Yeah.
I guess, you know, I was watching yesterday. I've never liked Hera's red lip. I think Hera's makeup is ridiculous because it doesn't look like, look,
it's Ahsoka, not your shade, babe.
It ain't easy being green. Now, look, Ahsoka looks like that is what she looks like.
Right.
Hera enters the screen and she looks like an actor painted in green makeup.
She does look very green. That said, was she very green in the animated series?
Yes. And okay. I think that's where some of my issues in this. Look, I really like the show.
Mm-hmm.
I remember really liking it. I really enjoyed this episode. I think the characters are spot on. I think it's written very well. I think the actors are bringing to life those characters and being very respectful of the work that had come before, but also bringing their own thing. And love Dave Filoni. We all know I love me some Dave Filoni. I think Dave Filoni is... being too true to the animated look. All I could think of watching this episode was Cowboy Bebop in Netflix. I know you've never watched it. You're like not an anime person.
No,
at all.
I'm really not.
And that's fine. I like anime. I don't have a huge anime person, but I like a lot of it. And I love Cowboy Bebop. I was very excited when that show was coming to Netflix. Then I looked at it. I am so incredibly stoked for Avatar The Last Airbender to come, but I'm nervous about this one thing that I keep getting from Netflix anime to live action. They're too one-to-one of the animation. I don't like it. I think it's ridiculous and it pulls me out of the story. Like the first time in this episode that I was really just pulled out was the mural that Sabine painted there on Lothal. And it's not exactly from the animation, but it looks like what it looked like in the show. Too much. And it looks like little golden books. I like the artwork. It's beautiful. It's great. But I don't see Sabine making that artwork. She's listening to punk rock. She's using all these vibrant colors. Like she's a punk rock girl, like lots of very saturated purples and yellows. And then we get this very like her, all of a sudden her art style is too cutesy. And then that mural is too like, not her.
Right.
And I never got the vibe that she painted that because she was commissioned by the city of Lothal, who asked for a certain thing. It was her paying honor to her friends.
Right.
Like I get Ahsoka or Sabine having like a cutesy vibe to her art style, but there still needs to be like a little bit of edge to it, okay, personally. And it's just like that art and that character don't go together.
Well, when she did it, she seemed like a different character. Now the next episode, she changes in a way. And it really is as simple as the haircut. I literally see a transformation in her.
Oh, yes. Yes, but... Yeah.
So this one that we just watched, she's different.
Yeah, well, okay, well, maybe, yes. And okay, this is where not seeing Rebels might be different. Okay. Sabine Wren is pretty new to you. I know you know of the character, but you don't really know her.
Correct.
Sabine Wren is a badass and very tough, fun, and artistic and all those things, but she's not a cutesy character. Has never been cutesy. She's very edgy. Right. And I just feel her artwork would reflect that edge.
Okay.
And it doesn't.
Okay.
So it does. It's not, it's just not my fave. And it really pulls me out. I think Hera's look really pulls, it really just legitimately pulls me out of the show. It's so bad.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like it's just too, trying to look too much like the cartoon. Like everything's almost too bright, if that makes sense, and too clean. And I don't know. It's just really messing with me. And all I think about is that it looks like anime and live action Netflix. But let's bring it back to Netflix for a hot second.
Okay.
And think about Stranger Things, which I love the way Stranger Things looks. Stranger Things really embraces its like 80s-ness. Mm. And maybe it turns it off. Like it's too stylized to feel like real 80s. But I almost think this show would really benefit from a little bit of grit, a little bit of 80s-ness. I think it would help with the timeline because this show looks more like a prequel than it does the OT. Mm-hmm. And that's fine. I mean, that's one of my criticisms of the sequel trilogy in general. It looks too much like the original trilogy. And I think it's supposed to be a very different time in Star Wars. So it should visually look different. Like the prequels and the original trilogy look very different. You can look at those two movies and you know they're in two different time periods. And so I like that. And I know like George Lucas is very into that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And I don't know the decisions being made and why they're making them. Clearly, these are all incredibly talented people who know what they're doing. And these are intentional decisions. So maybe if I understood why they made the decisions they made, I would like it more. But since I don't, I'm going to be a little critical of it. I just feel like it needs a little bit of grit and it needs almost to be a little less saturated and a little, you know what? I would lean into Ahsoka being an orange lady and I'd push it more into a little bit of a warmer tone. Let's push in some oranges and some yellows. I'm going to pretend like I'm a cinematographer here.
Okay.
But it's honestly, it's pulling me out of the show.
Okay.
Which is upsetting because the acting is great. I think the casting is great. The characters are great. They're just not looking good. And it stinks. The show deserves better.
Okay.
But I like that you like it. That makes me, I'm like,
I do.
Okay.
I just.
This is, you know, really like, just personal.
I think they got Ahsoka's mannerisms down because I have seen her enough. You've shown me enough episodes when we were looking at one thing where she was in it, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Not a big fan of, you know what I don't like? Because I like to live in La La Land. I don't like that, you know, they're portraying that Ahsoka kind of didn't finish what she started in the relationship with Sabine. So it kind of makes her look bad and, you know, as a bad parent in a way or a bad mentor. I don't like that because, you know, she's our heroine. She's our hero. Yeah. She's, you know, so I don't like that. If I had to say anything, I don't like that. Not a big fan of the relationship, but.
Why is that?
I just kind of feel like it's unnecessary. I feel like they did it before. They did it with Anakin and her, only it was completely different. I just don't see how it was really important to the whole story. I feel like we could have done the whole story and not have that
element.
Yeah. It's like, that pulls, if you want to use that phrase, that pulls me out a little bit. I mean, I see. Yeah. I mean, I feel like we could have had the same story without that relationship. That's all. It's like, oh God, it's like a parent teenager thing. I didn't want to watch that. I want to watch Star Wars. That was my thought on it. And I said that, I remember saying that last summer as well.
It's so funny because I see 100% what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. But I think that is what I love the most about the show.
And that's
okay. Is, yeah, no, it's great. This is why, you know what?
I mean, you're wrong, but okay.
This is what I love about Pink Milk. And I'm so happy that it's back because I really, really enjoy my conversations with you, because I think this is what most people do. They have conversations about shows they like, and we're not getting lost in the weeds of this, like, cameo meant this, and let's, oh, this is this HK model droid that was first appeared over here, and that happened in canon, this happened. Like, we don't get into that stuff, because I think at the end of the day, it's fun trivia, and I love trivia, but I'm not really a trivia queen. I am a story queen, and I just want to listen to and watch the stories and talk about the stories, so I'm here for it.
I'm the average guy just watching TV.
But I think,
so this is, you know, what my thoughts are.
Honestly, I think that's why people like the show, because it is not intimidating. Actually, most people listening know more than we do.
They probably, I can guarantee it, actually.
And I've never claimed to be a trivia queen, but I think I have.
We do have a Bucky box, though.
We do have a Bucky box, which we should break out one of these days to see how much we remember.
Mm-hmm.
But I will say, I think I understand the heart of Star Wars. I understand its moral fiber, and I understand its perspective, and I understand the characters and the story of Star Wars, which is because that's what I'm into. Okay, but this is what I love about it. Because I think this relationship between Ahsoka and Sabine has never been explored in Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
It's referred to, it's happened to the characters, but it's always happened off screen.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm excited to explore this on screen.
Okay.
So you're not that familiar with Rebels. Are you at least getting the vibe that these people are all close at one point in time and something happened?
Yes, I actually still feel they're all close.
Okay.
They feel very family-like. Yeah.
Perfect.
No, okay. Even in that, hey, this strain on the relationship, I still feel there's a real, familial.
So that's great. That's like that's really important, because the Ghost Crew is very much a family, and that heartbeat of the family was what drove that show. And so now we're going to see a show of what happens when, and truthfully, in Rebels, Ahsoka and Sabine were never that close. They didn't interact a ton.
Okay.
So this whole idea that Sabine was trained by her, wow, we never explored. That's all new to everybody in the audience of Ahsoka. But what I think I like the most is a lot of Star Wars deals with trauma. It deals with bad parenting, bad choices by this person or that person. But I don't think Star Wars spends a lot of time in trauma, because it's too much of a fairy tale. We don't, Star Wars in general, in the movies at least, I should say, doesn't really get deep into anything. And that's my favorite part of Star Wars, is Star Wars invites you to bring your own depth to the characters. They give you just enough to identify, and then Star Wars is a very interactive story, and that's what I like about it. This, though, however, is, I think, exploring characters who are very close, who experienced a shared trauma, and how individuals can respond and react and accept that trauma in different ways, and how those reactions to a shared experience can actually be the things that drive people away. And I think that's really, really interesting, because I think it happens a lot in life of, we were very close, but like, I didn't like the way you responded to our friend dying.
Mm-hmm.
And now we are no longer friends, because I can't comprehend why you would behave this way after that happened. And I think it's a really honest and very human story. And personally, I kind of love that a mentor is the one kind of making the bad decisions. And it's very in line with Ahsoka, that line of like, what was it? It's something Ahsoka says to Hera about, she's like, I walked away from Sabine just like I walked away from Anakin. And Hera responds something like, I'm sure you had good reasons. And Ahsoka's line back is something to the effect of, well, good reasons can still have bad consequences.
Mm.
And I thought it was such a true thing. And it was something that all of us can really learn. And I know that eventually we're going to see Anakin's going to come back in this. And I think we get to resolve some of those things. And that was Ahsoka carrying on to something that she shouldn't have been carrying on to anymore.
Right.
And I think maybe for me, I relate to it so much because I kind of, you know, I think we all know I have listeners for a long time know that I have some family baggage, like most of us do, right? I feel like I was taught to run away from things a lot and don't really address them, just up and leave. And I did that for a long time because that was what was kind of taught. And then I became a parent. Actually, even before that, I met you and you really changed everything because let's face it, like the reality is you're the first person ever in my life that I really trusted, that I knew would always be there no matter what. And I've never really have experienced that before. And then I became a parent and I had to make sure that my children knew I would be there for them no matter what, because most of my family will just up and leave when things get hard. And I can really relate to that in Ahsoka, that something happened to her. She was a Jedi. It's something that the Jedi do that I think is wrong. And it's one of the things that they explore is that they take them away from their family and tell them, oh, you shouldn't love them anymore. You got to be unattached. And there's a trauma that's going to always be there. Right. You know, like we understand children being taken away from their bio families. And you and I are parents who are raising our children to always love and cherish and honor their parents if they choose to. If they choose to not want to do that for whatever reason, that's them. But like, we're never here to erase their past.
Correct.
And I feel like the Jedi wanted to erase the past and nothing else mattered until you got here. And I think that kind of raising of a child can lead a child to just leave. And I think Ahsoka made all the right choices to leave the Jedi Order, but she just left and didn't probably really process why she left in all the right ways, because she was not taught to. She was taught to just leave and then that's it. And now she became a mentor. And it's easier as a child to leave your parent than as a parent to have your child leave you. You know, and now Ahsoka's left with that. And I think it's really interesting to see that relationship. And I think that Sabine had that. She left her family. Like, this is stuff you don't know. And I don't know if it's pertinent to the character in this, but to know that she left her entire family and the guilt that she felt for that. And she also came from a very close family and her family allowed her just to leave. And I know that had a lot of trauma for her.
Interesting. Okay.
Well, you know what's not interesting, or maybe you're not interested in
what?
Continuing on with this episode.
I think we're good with it.
We've exhausted the conversation, Brian. We've exhausted the conversation. Okay. Are you ready for next week though?
I'm definitely ready for next week.
And talking about Ahsoka or the show or both?
Both.
Boom. I like
this show. I think it's great.
You know what? I think it's great too. And I hope if you're listening, you think it's great. And you know what else might be great and you might enjoy? Following me on Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. I ditched serving pink milk during my sabbatical. So I'm back at DeathXRobot on X, on Instagram, and on YouTube. YouTube's got a lot of stuff changing. You're going to be able to have a website to go to here soon. Lots of it. All at DeathXRobot. So until next week, Thomas, are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right, everybody. Let's drink up.